variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Melissa Itell Duran Show, kind of a part two of where we are, and we're in pandemic mode like everyone else. And if you had been in a coma, let's say, and I say this sincerely, right? If you were in a coma for the last 3 weeks and or last month, and you woke up and say, "Hey, is anything new?" I'd have to say to you, you know, just sit back. I don't want to put you back in a coma, but wow, wait till you hear what's new. And it is shocking, everything that's been happening. And let me introduce our host. Each and every week is a wife, a mother, the author of Dying to Get Under the Huppah, A Young Woman's Journey to Finding Her Beshert. And she's the author of a couple other books, and she is the subject of two documentaries. She's an educator, she's a wife, a mother, dancer, a lot of things, and she does them all very well, and of course, radio show host. We're back with Melissa Itell Duran. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great, Frank, considering.
Yeah, considering is right. You know, when you say, how are you doing, you know, usually it's like, hey, yeah, great. You know, we're getting there. It's, you know, whatever. It's a conversation starter. Now, when you say, how are you doing, you kind of mean it. You know, are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, is your friend, you know, well, your friend's okay? Your daughter's okay? Your son's okay?
Oh, yeah. And if you should just happen to, you're talking to somebody on the phone, let's say, you know, you okay? Are you sick? Do you have it?
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what you mean. When you say, how are you now, it might be a euphemism phrase or a euphemistic phrase for saying, do you have coronavirus? And, you know, I mean, let's face it. That's what it is. I was telling you off mic that I went in to visit a friend, not really to visit him, but he has it. We believe he has it, and he's devastated by it. He lives alone in Brooklyn. He's a, you know, good friend of mine and Kristen's, but I've known him since I'm 17 years old, and he's there, and he was just devastated by it. He listens to us, so I'm sure he doesn't mind. I'm not saying his name or anything like that, but the only thing that helps alleviate any of his symptoms is Tylenol, extra strength Tylenol, and he was out, and there's no way to get it, and the local stores that were supposed to be delivering were out of it, and I didn't realize it was in such high demand, so I rode by.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I rode by last night, and I basically, you know, tossed over his fence, or I just reached over his fence and threw it on his doorstep in Brooklyn, and I waited across the street, and of course, after I did that, and I you know, had any contact with the fence, I soaked myself in hand sanitizer, and touched, you know, with my face with the hand sanitizer, washed, basically bathing in hand sanitizer. I'm a little paranoid that way. And I went across the street and I waited. And then he came out and he looked, and again, he might be listening. He obviously didn't look himself. And he looked horrible. And I know he'll get through this. He runs marathons, by the way, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But this has just crippled him. And he's a great guy. And I know he'll get through this. And I'll tell you, it's challenging us on every level. I mean, physically, the folks that unfortunately have it are having the most difficult challenges. But the rest of us, being in, keeping the kids sequestered, so to speak, or quarantined, and I mean, they're climbing the walls, the kids, and yeah, you know, so are we. We gotta watch that we don't get at each other's throats. It could be a very depressing time.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. It is. It's trying for everyone, and I don't know when the end is. I don't know when the end in sight is.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Is I'm not sure that anybody sees that light at the end of the tunnel, and we just got to bunker in. It's look, people have been in much worse situations. There have been, you know, people that, you know, war where people are actually coming around trying to kill other people, and they bunkered in. And think of what, you know, the people had to deal with in Nazi Germany and Jewish people hiding and everything else. Those are situations that are you know, much worse than what we're in now. We just got to stay away from each other. Are you having phone trouble there, Melissa?
I don't know. I can hear you.
Okay, I can hear you. You just sound like you're crackling, and you never know. You know, at this these are the type of years and days where you don't know exactly what's going
on.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything can go wrong.
What are you stocking up on, and what have you stocked up on? I mentioned Tylenol, and is it something like that you've stocked? What did you make sure you have? Obviously, paper goods like toilet paper and napkins, and you know that we all know about. But do you have enough hand sanitizer? Do you have rubbing alcohol? What do you have, and what did you load up on?
Yeah, I bought toilet paper before this whole outbreak. But you never have enough toilet paper these days. But anyway, I have found some places that were giving away that had surpluses of no name or I don't know, second tier toilet paper brands, and I grabbed those, and I did find some of the disinfectant wipes on Amazon, their own brand. I don't know if they're still there or they've gone up in price or if they're indefinitely back ordered. I found some of those. I do have hand sanitizers. I have two that were made by a pharmacist. I don't even think he's making it anymore. I'm not sure because this private compounding pharmacy, now will not allow you to come indoors. You can't just roam freely in the store. You have to call ahead with what you need, whether it be a prescription that you're picking up or you need refilled or items in their store, and they will look for them, and they will take payment beforehand, and then you can drive up there, wait at curbside. They will deliver it to your car, or they will deliver it to you. And I had a prescription delivered. It was from my son. And I thought I would get it right away because I'm so close, but I didn't realize or I'd forgotten that everybody's prescription, not everyone's, but most people were asking that their prescription be delivered, and that they were making at that hour or two or three, 80 prescriptions all over the neighborhood. So there was quite a wait for that. So, you're going to see the smaller, smaller independent merchants closing earlier, not allowing customers in, or just closing, you know, indefinitely because they can't keep going. They are not bringing in enough business to make it worth their while.
Yeah, it's changed. You know, obviously that has changed dramatically. You know what has changed, unfortunately, and that you're going to see a lot of them go out of business, are restaurants, bars. You know, nightclubs, obviously. I mean, but they're not going to be able to survive. How do you survive? I've owned two restaurants and three clubs when I was in my 20s and, you know, into my 30s. And you know, quite frankly, I mean, you lose a month, you know, just a bad month. You have a bad snowstorm month. You're hurting. If you have two bad months like that, forget it. This is different. I mean, nobody's coming, you know, nobody's coming near the place. You know, if you have snowstorms and you have bars, you still have walk-ins. You have people that are close by and they want to get out and they want to. Now you're not allowed to have people. I mean, it's terrible.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's awful. It really is.
What do you think is going to change permanently, if anything, from this? I think the idea of folks that are germophobic. And there's a lot of us. I mean, I'm big on, I've always been opening doors with my shirt sleeves and my coat sleeves.
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
Yeah. I've always been like that. And I've been a little, you know, like, carrying hand sanitizer guy. Mm-hmm. I've been like that. Just, you know, I don't want to get other people sick. I don't want to get my family sick. I'm not crazy, you know, like with it. I mean, I host, you know, events that have 500-600 people sometimes, and I'm hugging and kissing 100 people, you know, in the audience and shaking hands with everybody or whatever. But it's the type of thing that when I get the opportunity, I wash my hands, and I'm big on washing my, I think that's going to be, big on a lot of people's list from now on. What else do you think will change, Melissa?
Definitely our social interactions, the way we, as you said, interact with people. Now, we're told not to go into crowds. We stay 6 feet away from people. I mean, forget about massive gatherings. Weddings have been canceled now for many couples. Some have tried to pull off a very small version of what their real wedding was like. And I heard there was a couple out on Long Island or elsewhere, who actually had a wedding, kept their wedding plans, and they got into legal trouble for doing that because they had almost everybody there. And you're not supposed to have, you know, wedding catering halls are considered non-essential businesses, according to our governor, and I'm sure in other states the same applies as well. Our social interactions are going to be different now from now on, I think. We're not at the point where we can say, okay, we're going to go back to normal. Let's resume life before March 20th. It's not going to happen that quickly. But I was thinking about it. You know, the days of strolling in crowds and going to concerts and performances and shows and museums are on hiatus for now, and it seems so nostalgic. It seems like such a thing of the past, and it wasn't that long ago. And what is life going to look like when this is finally said and done? Are we going to be trepidatious about going out in the open now? I mean, there are people I know who will not go out now just to walk around on the block. Maybe I'm a little bit too cavalier about it, but I like to go out. I like to stick my head out there. I will admit I have gone out. I've made some runs to stores. I've tried my best to stay protected from whatever is outside. I wore gloves and I kept my distance, and I have the whole antibacterial routine as well. But there are people who say, I'm afraid, I don't want to go out yet, I'm going to give it another week. It's as though there's a battle zone out there. Can I dodge the bullets?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, but I'm the same way. I don't like to be a shut-in. I don't like that. I don't like that feeling. So I'm out there. My wife gets on me about it, and she's like, don't go into any stores. I'll get out, and I'll just drive around. You know, I'll go stir crazy. I feel bad for everyone that has to do it. But again, it's a lot better than what people in the past had to do. Frank McKay here with Melissa Eitel Jurin, melissaeiteljurin.com. Check out the two documentaries with Melissa, and she's terrific in them. And we got a couple moments left here with Melissa. If you think about it, and I may have said this before, pardon me for repeating myself, forgive me. That's right. But my 18-year-old, he was born in the year of 9/11, right in the wake of 9/11, and he's graduating in a coronavirus. You know, I mean, those kids are there, and you feel bad in a sense. But think about our grandparents. Grandfathers, particularly, were some of them were woken up and saying, "Hey, the Japanese just bombed Pearl Harbor. Get yourself together. We know you'd like to finish high school. You can't. Grab a gun. We got to stop Hitler. Got to stop the Japanese. Yeah. We got to, you know, do all this. Get up and do it." And instead of going to prom, a lot of those guys grabbed guns and they fought the bad guys. And you know, we'll never be able to thank them for what they did. But now it's, you know, you're waking up the kids and saying, okay, stay asleep, watch TV, watch movies. You can't go outside. And it's a lot less sacrifice than what their great grandparents would have had to do, and our grandparents would have had to do. But your thought on that? I mean, we know they're going crazy. They're going stir crazy, the kids, but they've got to put it in perspective.
Yeah, I know. It's disappointing that graduations were canceled, proms or senior dinners, et cetera. This is life interrupted. But this is, you know, we're all feeling the effects of this. I know that a lot of students were wondering, will the work that I did this semester count, or what about the remaining work that I'm doing? Will I go on to the next the next grade. I mean, there is remote learning, distance learning going on. You know, you hope that this will at least keep you in the loop so that you can, come September. I hope the schools will be functioning by then. You'll be able to start your new school year. And for kids who, at the end of the 4 year, you know, the 4 year journey or high school, your son is 18, so this is the high school. This was the graduation. And did he know? He's already been accepted by several colleges, I imagine, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he just got the Macaulay Scholarship, mm-hmm. which is a full ride to where he's going. He's going to film school, and we're all happy about that. We just found out it's a full ride, and
that's great.
Yeah, he and most of the kids that get that scholarship are in the 1400s in their SATs. He scored a 1370.
Wonderful.
Well, yeah, but it was his writing sample, I think, that got him there. But the 1,400 kids, you know, are usually ones who get that thing. But anyway, you know, we're very proud of him. He's all excited about it. He just doesn't know when he'll start. But again, he puts it in perspective. He's not complaining. He's a great kid, and you know, he'll get through it. Look, it's trying for kids and parents, and you have to be there, and you have to keep them from climbing the walls, and you got to protect them. And I know you and Bruce, you've got your hands full, and you're dealing with a lot of things that people are dealing with, and you're getting through it. And I guess we just got to make sure we don't strangle each other while we're
exactly. Yeah. And act, you know, strangle our kids. And if they, you know, they're doing something out of frustration or boredom, like my son, you know, they really want to get out of that house and they'll climb the roof. That puts you through a lot of emotional and physical stress. But you just, at the end of the day, you have to say, okay, all right, we're going to make sure that doesn't happen again, so that you won't have to climb the walls or the roof.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Final thoughts. You know, again, we're going to be talking about this for a while because we're in there, you know, we're in the middle of it. You know, we're in the beginning of it, maybe. You know, I hate to say it, but maybe we're in the very beginning. Your thoughts, how are you going to spend the time? How do you recommend other people spend the time? Netflix is a good starting point.
Netflix, yes.
Hulu.
Read a good book. Find a book you might like to read. I know, you know, sometimes we find that we're very busy at home. It's not just about sitting there looking at the four walls. A lot of things come up, things that we neglected to do. Kids, especially, work. You know, when you're working at home, it's not that, you know, it's not a vacation from the office, because I see with my husband, you can get even more busy, more inundated with calls, more inundated with things, and it can be just almost as stressful as being in the actual workplace. So have some downtime. Find a book that you've neglected to read or that you'd like to read. There are a lot of online resources if you don't want to necessarily purchase the book. I even for the brave out there, that would probably be me. Maybe it's not very smart to do right now. There are some Barnes and Noble branches that are open, and they don't have their usual sitting areas set up now. But you can go in, you know, and if you wear your gloves, you can look it up. You know, you can sample some books. And I think their hours are limited, but they do have the online ordering, and their website is up and running. So you can do that, or you can go to your Kindle and download something. And yes, Netflix is fully operational, and there are new shows on Netflix. And you know, try on demand and see if there's a movie that you missed, an Academy Award nominated movie that you just never got around to see.
Yeah, well, listen, the first thing that they should download and from Kindle is Dying to Get Under the Hoopa, A Young Woman's Journey to Finding Her Brochure. And get that one. Sandra Hockman and our very own Melissa Eitel-Joran is the authors of that wonderful comedic novel, and just wonderful. Melissa, thank you very much, and stay safe.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You too, and to everyone out there, be well.
Yeah, and thank you for tuning in, everyone. Be well. Stay safe. Keep your distance, and never before has that been more more important and more serious a comment. Keep your distance, everyone. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on the Melissa Itell Jorn Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell-Jurin and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.